Let us pray. Lord, this is your day. You are the Lord of the Sabbath. Bless this day. Make it a holy day. And may this day be richly filled up with your blessings. And open up our eyes so that we can perceive and heal our sickness and infirmities so that we can serve you better. And save us so that we can be your children, and convict our sins so that we can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus as we confess our sins. And let the light of Jesus shine upon each one's face and each one's heart so that we would be able to live for your glory. We ask your Holy Spirit to hover over us and help us to understand what you have in mind for each individual today. Father, we thank you in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So today, we are going to look at one of the most well-known stories of Jesus' miracles. In particular, we are going to talk about feeding 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. Miracle of God shows God's power, and it gives us a striking wonder of God. But the miracle of God is not always one way. It takes more than what God can. God can perform his miracle without us. However, that's not the way God chooses to perform his miracle. From today's story, we'll discover what we can contribute for God's miracle. As the title says, miracle of God begins with you. So that's the topic we are going to look at today. Would you please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We are going to read verses 1 through 13. Gospel of John 6, 1 through 13. Here's the word of God. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitude was following him because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. And Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, and said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two fish. But what are these for so many people? Jesus said, have the people sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the five barley loaves, which was left over by those who had eaten. So Jesus' popularity in Galilee was rising up. Many people have seen Jesus' healing miracles. It looks like that Jesus tried to rest. He went up on the mountain with his disciples. But he saw a great multitude was coming to him. And The verse 4 tells us that the Passover holiday was at hand. What that means, many people will go to Jerusalem to observe this one of the three great religious holidays for the Jewish people. So it looked like that they were the pilgrims. This great multitude were the pilgrims that were heading to Jerusalem. And look at verse 5. And Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing a great multitude was coming to him, and said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" Upon seeing this great multitude, Jesus felt compassion for them. He has not ministered to them, but they were coming to him, and he realized they must be hungry. And he turned to Philip as a natural choice because Philip came from the region, Bethsaida, which is located near the Sea of Galilee, near Jordan River. So natural choice was Philip because he would have local knowledge. And Jesus asked him where food could be purchased. And look at verse 6. And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. So Jesus was testing Philip. And Jesus had a solution in his mind, but he wanted to check upon how Philip would respond to him. And verse 7, Jesus answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. It's very interesting to see Philip's answer. Jesus asked him where to buy food, but Philip was estimating how much it would cost. He was a practical man, and he saw the situation as hopelessly impossible to pay for these 5,000 people. And he estimated that it would cost about 200 denarii to feed this great multitude. 200 denarii is about 6 months of average person's wage. So it's a lot of money, and apparently he did not have this much of money. So Philip was basically saying like this, Jesus, situation is hopeless. We cannot afford the cost, and nothing can be done. That was basically his answer. So in the midst of this despairing situation, there was another person who shows in this episode. Look at verse 8 and 9. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There was a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" So it was Andrew. Andrew found a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. If you recall, Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. His expertise is bring some people to Jesus. But this time it was a boy who seemed to have presented his meal, 5 loaves and 2 fish, to Jesus. Somehow Andrew found this boy who seemed to be willing to give his meal to Jesus. So let's compare with Philip. Compared to Philip, Andrew had a totally different attitude about the situation. He could have easily dismissed this boy's case completely, but he did not. Andrew was basically saying like this, "I will see what I can do. I found a boy and his meal. This may not be possible to feed 5,000 people, but Jesus, I want to tell you, and I will trust you to do the rest." That is basically his attitude. He also knew that it's not possible to feed 5,000 people with, five loaves of bread and two fish. But he did not dismiss that, and he escalated that to Jesus. You know, I believe faith gives us a different lens. With faith, we see what God can do with what we have. But without faith, we only see what we have in our hands. You know, that makes a huge difference. Philip failed to see what Jesus can do beyond what he saw. But Andrew was able to see what Jesus could do beyond this hopeless situation. But let us look at what does really five barley loaves and two fish mean? You know, what are those things? First of all, barley loaves are the lowest grade of bread in Palestine. You know, in our days, barley is better than wheat, nutrition perspective, but barley was a cheaper grain in Palestine, and it was food for the lowest class, such as the peasants. And what about fish? You may imagine fish to be a sizable fish like fluke or catfish, but this fish, Opsarion, in Greek manuscript, is a preserved fish that was eaten with bread. It was more like sardines, small fish. It's not full-blown big fish, and which was far from the choice fish at all. Again, this was for the common people. It was very much like that boy came from a common class. So in our term, five loaves and two fish is more like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, basically. The basic possible lunch that you can bring to your office or whatever. So this boy did not have much to offer. But this boy seemed to offer all he had. He did not withhold his loaves and fish. He might have brought this food with him in case he needed his meal on the journey to Jerusalem. It seems like this food was an emergency food that has been reserved for him as the last resort if he cannot find the place to purchase his food on the way. And I wonder why 5,000 others did not offer anything in that situation. I'm certain that they also had their own meals, as most of them were pilgrims heading to Jerusalem. They were not random village people who just came to see Jesus. You know, they were a crowd heading toward Jerusalem for the Passover. If that is the case, they must have prepared their meals for their travel. But they either spared their meals or did not think it wouldn't help the situation to feed the rest. You know, we don't have all the information to be certain one way or another. But one thing is very clear is the boy's act. He was willing to give up what he had. I don't know he knew ahead of time what Jesus would do with his food to feed 5,000, but he handed all he had into the hands of Jesus through Andrew, and the rest is up to Jesus. You know, what did you do if you were Jesus with five loaves and two fish? You know, I think I would say to the boy, "Thank you, boy, but no thank you. Great attempt, but keep them to yourself. That did not help the situation." But Jesus did not dismiss the food the boy has brought. He took them. Look at verse 10 and 11. And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in that place, in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated likewise, also of the fish, as much as they wanted. You know, there were about 5,000 men. I don't know why. You know, Gospel writer John just count men only. Maybe because it's a pilgrims. You know, all the men required to go to Jerusalem during those feasts. That's one explanation. But I believe that there are other women and the children as well. So we can imagine that it could well be, you know, 10,000, even more total people in that spot. But anyhow, the important thing is Jesus took the loaves. Jesus took the loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, Jesus honored this boy's contribution. However little that may be, he took it. He received it. And Jesus presented the boy's contribution to the Father, giving thanks. You know, gratitude have, you know, power. You know, somehow, somewhere, the bread and fish were multiplying as Jesus was thanking to God. And Jesus was able to distribute bread and fish to all the people there as much as they wanted. You know, Philip tried to estimate the whole cost, 200 denarii, just to give them, you know, a little. That's his, you know, capacity. But Jesus lavished his meal, and people took as much as they wanted. It's abundance. This is amazing abundance. And look at verse 12. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, and nothing may be lost." And verse 13. And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So everyone was fed and filled. And more stunning thing is the fact that there were so many left over, even after 5,000 were filled. 12 baskets with, you know, loaves, fragments were left. And I was thinking, why 12 baskets? One good explanation is each disciple was in charge of one basket. But that's my guess. But no matter what happens, there were so many leftover bread. You know, this reminds me of the first sign Jesus performed in Cana. Jesus turned 6 water pots of water up to 180 gallon of water to choice wine. Think about 180 gallon of wine. You know, we don't buy wine by gallons. We buy small bottle. I don't know how. Maybe 1/6 of a gallon, maybe even less. You know, that's how you, you know, measure up the wine. But Jesus turned 180 gallons of water into wine. That's abundant. You know, so much wine for the host and the guest. You know, when Jesus blesses, there is abundance. Jesus' miracle is always abundant, beyond our imagination. And here, he fed 5,000 people, and Jesus did not just feed them, and they were filled, and there was so much left over after all the people took as much as they wanted. You know, it's another abundance here. I was thinking about, you know, these two miracles are connected to each other. Abundant blessing of Jesus was with wine in chapter 2 at Cana and bread near the Passover time in Galilee. If you flip the sequence, it is bread and wine. Bread and wine. You know, bread and wine are the symbolic of eschatological messianic banquet. We can expect the abundance of Jesus' blessing when he lavishes his table for us in his kingdom. He pours out his blessing to the degree that we cannot even handle. His blessing is like showers in the summer, and it just outpours and displays his abundance. You know, that's his capacity. He's an infinite God, and so is his blessing. He's infinite, just outpouring beyond our measure. And bread and wine are also the symbolic of Jesus' body and blood. Last week we observed his communion. Bread and wine, bread and the cup, it symbolize Jesus' blood and Jesus' body and blood. So Jesus said, he is the ransom for many. And his blessing is simply abundant to cover multitude of our sins and once and for all. You know, how many people would be redeemed at the end of history? You know, billions and billions and billions of people who believed in him will be saved. That's his blessing, abundant blessing. So Jesus' miracle is always abundant in quality and quantity. And today's episode of feeding 5,000 with five loaves and two fish is clearly showing that Jesus is compassionate and powerful. But there is more. We have to catch the behind story, the face of Andrew and the sacrifice of the boy. You know, Andrew did not take the boy's contribution, something that which can be snuffed out, ignoring and dismissing it at all. It could have done. It could have happened that way. Hey, boy, just get away. You know, you're joking. You know, your meal doesn't serve 5,000 people. Just get away. And then it could be that it never has been escalated to Jesus. Jesus would never knew about this boy willing to sacrifice his lunch. But the boy out of nowhere emerged, and he handed out all he got for use of Jesus through Andrew. And Andrew passed down to Jesus, and Jesus performed this miracle. So faith and sacrifice are the two inseparable entities behind this Jesus miracle. So I'd like to give three lessons here today. Miracle of God begins with you. And first point, Jesus honors what you can bring to him. You know, Jesus honors the faith of Andrew, and Jesus also honors the sacrifice of the boy. And Jesus honors and receives your offering to him. You know, however little it may be, he receives it and he takes it and make good use of that. So never underestimate what can you bring to Jesus. You know, your talent, your time, your offering, you know, whatever you are willing to present to him, he receives it and he honors that. That's an important point. And second point I'd like to make, Jesus needs what you can bring to him. Not only he receives and honors, he needs that. It's interesting insight, isn't it? It may not be much. It may not be significant from your perspective, but he needs it. There were 5,000, but one boy presented his offering. That's all Jesus needed. And Jesus still needs what you can bring to him. Jesus wants you to be involved in his kingdom program and his kingdom mission. And your portion is necessary for Jesus to take it on. And the last point, Jesus multiplies what you hand over into his hands. You know, this is an amazing thing. Think about it. When the boy's lunch was passed over to the hands of Jesus, Jesus multiplied to the extent that he was able to feed 5,000 people and many leftover food. after that. Now the boy's lunch could have just fed him if he took it and then he consumed it when he was hungry. However, when it was entrusted into Jesus' hand, it multiplied by feeding 5,000 men and abundant leftover. It just not only fed this boy, but 5,000 others were fed with his lunch when that lunch was handed over into Jesus' hands. You know, that's the power of Jesus' miracle. But Jesus uses your portion and my portion. In a lot of miracles in the Bible, God could have, just done it. He has the capability to do it, but in many cases, God want to interact with human partners. God gave Moses, the piece of wood, and he said, "Lift up that." And then the Jordan was, the Red Sea was parted. God could have just parted the Red Sea into two places, but he always gives something to human partners so the human partner exercises his faith or her faith using that, and then God finishes his miracle. Jesus also asked a lot of sick people, "What do you want me to do? Do you want me to heal?" He asked, and then people say, "Yes, I want you to heal me." And then Jesus healed many people in that way. So Jesus, in many cases, need human partnership and our faith and our sacrifice, especially in miracles. He needs our portion. When it comes to offering to Jesus, do not calculate. Don't use your agapas, the Chinese stuff, or your calculator in your cell phone, or whatever the calculator, Casio. I still have Casio. It lasts forever. When it comes to offering to God, don't calculate. Don't be another Philip. Philip, he had his calculator, kind of look at 5,000 people times how much it needs, 200 denarii. 50,000 dollars of money is needed to feed these people only once, Jesus. It's not practical. I calculated and it doesn't make sense. When it comes to offering, don't calculate. Just give. Don't think too much behind it. Whatever the portion you need to give, just give. Give away. The boy's offering was little, but everything he had. That's the catch. It's a peanut butter jelly sandwich, but that's all he had, basically. 5 loaves, barley loaves, and 2 fish. That's all he had, and he presented. The boy's offering was not only sacrificial, but also generous. And it is another miracle behind the story that this boy presented his offering. And it was a miracle of sacrifice and generosity. Jesus needs our sacrifice and generosity so that he would multiply. It's a law of multiplication from the Bible. When Isaac decided to stay in Canaan, in the midst of famine, because God told him to stay. What happened in that year? Hundreds folds of crop he was able to harvest out of famine, out of no rain, but God multiplied his blessings upon him because Isaac took it out of faith to stay in the land. We have no doubt about God's power and God's abundance. But Jesus needs, your sacrifice and generosity. The question is not what Jesus can do, but what we can do for him. The miracle of God begins with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you have stored, you know, abundant blessings in the storehouse of heaven. And unfortunately, we have not tasted that because we haven't, you know, exercised our faith. Please forgive us. We always count what we have in our hands. And that's, we undermine your power, your capability by confining all your blessings to our own perspective. Please forgive that. And we confess that you are God of abundance. You own the whole universe. You own the whole earth. You own everything that we can see. And even the things that we cannot see. Father, you're the Father, you're the God who created everything, including our life. But you look at us and you still want us to give you what you can bring to you. Thank you for this partnership that you have made. Thank you for this free will that you have given us so that we would be willing to give out of our free will to you. And Father, whatever we bring to you, our time, our talent, and our offering, we know that you will take it and you will multiply it. And give us a spirit of sacrifice and generosity so that we would be able to see your miracle. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your being our God and creator and provider. In Jesus' name we pray.
I want to be close, close to your side. Heaven is real, and death is alive. I want to hear voices, angels above, singing as one. Worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am. I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world, hating the dark. I want to try. Bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am, who is worthy, none beside.
Father, we thank you for your being great I am. You were there before nothing was there, and you are here with us, and you will be there in all eternity with us. We thank you for your assurance, and thank you for your protection. Thank you for your being our Redeemer and our Savior and our Sustainer of our life. And each and every day, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and love of God with us forever. Amen.